No, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to try to teach. I'm not a preacher. but thank you very much for the first two messages. I think I enjoyed a lot. Also, Matthew's message. Usually, we don't think about those things. We most of the time, what I think is how God bless me, bless my family. I think that's a good reminder. And tonight, I'm going to try to teach. I'm going to share my experience, how I have been training my kids to obey their parents. And I think this message is very good for young people because time flies. In 5 to 10 years, you need to do the same thing. Okay. First, let's turn to the Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Let's read. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on earth. Okay, let's start with a prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, our Jesus, our Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. I ask you to give me wisdom and give me the words to say, and also help us to first to obey you in everything. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, what is the true obedience? I think I'm going to do two quick demo. And Jeremy? Can you play the piano?
I'm tired, Daddy. Can Daniel do it?
Go to play the piano.
Well, I don't want to, Daddy. Daniel wants to.
Oh, wait, he's sneezing. Jasmine? The second time was Jasmine. Oh, she forgot her word. Where is Lisa? Daniel comes. Daniel?
Yes, Daddy.
Go to get me a cup of water. Okay. So between these two, which one truly obeyed me? As you can see, it's Daniel, right? And so at my home, what we try to do, the true obedience means, I use the acronym, ORIC, means they need to obey respectfully, immediately, completely, and cheerfully. So there are four elements: obey respectfully, immediately, completely, and cheerfully. So any one of these elements is missing, that didn't obey you cheerfully. They didn't truly obey you. So true obedience means that quickly you chart quickly and cheerfully carrying out the directions you give to him or her. And so obedience at home means they need to obey parents immediately, have a cheerful attitude, and complete all the tasks give to them. And sometimes they even need to go extra miles. And of course, they shouldn't obey any wrong commandment. If I give them the wrong commandment, they should challenge me. They should not do that. So why the true obedience is so important? I think that I just want to give two reasons. One is the cost of disobedience is very high. There are so many examples of those in the Bible. I'm only mentioning few. Daniel, can you read the number 20? Just to read 12. I think 7 to 20 tell the whole story, but because of time, just read the 12.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
I think most of you are familiar with this story, right? God asked Moses to speak to the rock to get the water, but because he became angry, he strike the rock. And just because Moses didn't obey God cheerfully, and he didn't get the chance to go to the promised land. And I think the obedience is very, very important. Another example in the story in Bible is after the Israelites defeat the Jericho, and after that they got into another battle. Daniel, can you read Joshua 7:1?
But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel.
Yeah, he didn't obey the God completely, and which not only cost his whole family died, also he lost all his possessions. But also, even Israel people was defeated by a much smaller army. And so God's blessing is not with them. Another one is the Saul, the first king of Israel people. Daniel, can you read the 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 to 14?
And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee.
Yeah, because Saul didn't obey God correctly, he did things on his own term, and he lost his kingdom. Yeah. And right now I'm reading the Exodus, and in that book, he talk about how God led his people out of the Egypt. Just because Pharaoh didn't obey God's command through Moses immediately, because he tried to delay as much as possible. So he didn't let the God's people go right away, and which caused his whole country ruined. And also, all people lost the firstborn son. Yeah. Last one. There are many this kind of true story in the Bible. But last one, can you read the 1 Kings 13, verse 26?
And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him.
So there was one prophet sent by God, and God specifically told him to not eat or drink in that town. But another prophet, he used the trick. He got him to his house, and he sit down to eat. And because his disobedience, he lost his life. And similarly, if our kids, if they don't learn the true obedience, which can put their life in danger. And also, I think it can cause many hurts in the relationship. Right now with the brothers and sisters, in the future with the spouse and with others. And also can cause many failures in future careers or ministry work. So, second reason why the obedience is so important, because the blessing of true obedience is very dear. And first of all, God takes great delight in our obedience. And God prefers our obedience than our sacrifices. And to God, our disobedience is same as a rebellion. Daniel, can you read the 1 Samuel 15:22.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the word of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams.
And secondly, I think the obedient kids can make the parents very happy. I think most of the time I feel very happy. But sometimes one kid don't make me very happy. And also, the Bible, there are so many proverbs. The verses tell us that the wise son hears his father's instruction, and also he can bring joy to the parents. Proverbs 23, verse 24, says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him." And I think after we have trained our kids to obey, I think we have been enjoying them so much. And after we got our last son, Noah, between 2009 and 2011, me and my wife tried many times to want to have number 6 and number 7. After two painful miscarriages, I finally surrender my personal wish to God's will. So I think maybe God says you can only handle 5. Yeah. And also, I think obedient children will likely, by God's grace, will live a successful and productive life because they will get God's blessing. And in Ephesians 6, 1-3, we just read that the sixth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is the only commandment with God's promise. And so when kids obey the parents, honor the parents, God will bless them. And next, how to train them to obey you, obey the parents. I think the first thing we need to do as parents, we need to set a good example. Amen. We need to set a good example. Do we obey God? Do we obey the a pastor? Do we obey a manager at work? And sometimes I think obedience is difficult, especially when you have a different opinion. And do you still obey? Do you still submit to your authority? And that I think that's the true test. And so on a few things, I don't agree with Pastor 100%, but I still submit to him. And I want to set a good example so my kids, when they don't agree with me, they will still obey me. Yeah. Daniel, can you read Matthew 7, verse 3-5?
"And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye."
Yeah, I think the obedience is more caught than taught. And I forgot who said that. He said I forgot his name. He said he rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. Means he wants to see a true example than just to hear the message. I think that's very true in parenting, in how you train kids to obey. I think first we need to obey. We need to obey God. We need to obey the pastor. We need to honor our parents so that when we ask them to do the same, they would I think it's more easy for them to follow. Second thing you need to do is to love them, to have establish a loving relationship with your kids. The last two verses in the Old Testament, Daniel, can you read Malachi chapter 4, verse 5-6?
"Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Yeah, I think in these two verses, God clearly wants us, parents, especially fathers, to first turn their heart to the children. Then the children's heart can turn to you. I think the relationship comes before rules. If you just have a rules without a relationship, that leads to rebellion. And another thing we did is we started very early to train our little ones to obey. And my wife, I think she did a very good job. And right after the baby is born, she started to train them. And I think the earlier, the better, and also easier. So when when our kids were very small, my wife only set one or two rules, very simple. And she explained to them, also she did the demo, how to obey, and if the kids did disobey, and what's the consequences. And she set very, very clear examples. And also Ephesians 6:4 tells fathers, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Yeah. Before, only recently I truly understand this verse, because before I never believed that I can provoke my kids to wrath. Actually, we can. We can provoke them to wrath in many, many ways. One is to not to set clear rules. Another one is to have a realistic expectation on the kids. And also, another way to provoke them is not to be consistent. And between sports, also maybe between yourself. Next thing we did is we repeatedly emphasize the blessings of obedience and also point out the consequences of disobedience. And we told them that the reason we set those rules, we require the true obedience is not for us. It's not for our convenience, but it's for them, because we want them to stay in the will of God. And I think last Sunday, the pastor preached on how we should stay in the will of God. That's the safe place. So when the children obey parents, they can stay in the will of God. They can stay inside of the circle of blessings. So when they get out of this circle, they will get into trouble. And another thing we did is don't be afraid of using rod to discipline them, to spank them when necessary. And there are so many verses in the Bible talk about how to use rod. And I will just mention a few. And Daniel, can you read Proverbs 13:24?
He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes.
And also Proverbs 22, verse 15.
Shall drive it far from him. 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die.
Continue 14.
Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell.
And also 26:3.
A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back.
I think Bible clearly teach us we should use the rod if the kids act foolishly. And I don't know why, what happened recently, these many parents that they are afraid of using rod. And I think we need to be careful not to misuse this too, but we need to use it. And I think from years, I come up with some do's and don'ts when using rods. And the first one is don't spank a child in anger, and also don't over spank, because in the Bible, and in many places, it mentions that you can only spank like 40 minus one, just in case you forgot counting. And but we never got into that area, not even over 10. So, and also another thing you need to be careful is take the child, the offended one, to a private place. You don't want to spank him in front of his friend or in front of others. And before spank, you ask the child to tell you what he did wrong and why he need to be spanked. And you need him or her understand why you need to spank him. And after spank, try to hug him or hug her. Tell him or her you still love her, and it hurt you too. So, hurt your heart. And now remember, the goal of spanking is to help our child to learn how to obey, not to for us to fend out of anger or frustration. And another thing we need to do to be careful is to be consistent, to require first time obedience. And I mentioned we need to be consistent with each other, between the parents. We need to have same standard, same rules, same expectations. I think for the first few years, I didn't do a good job because I was easy one. So all my kids, the boys and girls, they try to get things from me. Especially after my wife said no, they talked to me. I said, "Oh, okay, go ahead." Because this is sin. Parenting is not an easy job. You either need to pay price up front or you pay the big price later. And if you try to send them away, to get rid of them, get rid of this trouble parenting thing, you will pay big price later. And so it's hard job. And I try to focus my career, so I made some mistakes. So also you need to require them first time obedience. When you call them, they need to immediately say yes, daddy, or yes, mommy. And I think I made this mistake in the first few years. I always count 1, 2, 3. If you count three, your kids can obey you. They can obey the first time without counting. If you count, you train them to obey, to delay the obedience. So delay the obedience is not true obedience. Okay. Another thing we did is that if the things didn't go well, and after we try our best, go to get help. And I reach out to Mrs. Jennifer and her three wonderful daughter, virtuous daughter, to get the counsels on how to train my daughter to be a virtuous lady too, because she right now. I spoiled her. I didn't know how to train my daughter to obey. I know how to spank boys, but spank girls is different. And but to summarize, I think the true obedience can bring a lot of joy to parents, also blessing to the kids. But the true obedience is not our ultimate goal, is not our end goal. Our end goal is to save the soul. Okay. However, through the obedient trainings, we want them to know they are sinner too, and they need Jesus. And our end goal is to lead them to our Lord Jesus, and we want them to be saved as soon as possible, as early as possible. Also, through the obedience training, we want them to learn the truth. We want them to walk in the truth. I think the 3 John 1:4 summarizes the ultimate goal in the parenting, in raising our children. I have no great joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Okay, thank you.